This first item is from 46 years ago. Sister Audrey, you thought you'd never hear this again, I expect. Called the Macedonian Call. It says, Dale Brady, Route 5, 3634 Vandalia Road. Written in 1946. Now, if you're tired of people speaking upon morals, go back 46 years. I'll try to read this a little slower than normal. I think sometimes I read too fast and you're not able to grasp everything. Every thinking person is awake to the dangers that confront our nation today, 1946. All are seeking a solution for these problems. I believe the solution is found in God's Word. That we are passing through a great physical test is readily admitted. Each day brings before the leaders of our nation new difficulties and new problems. Unrest is apparent everywhere. Men and women are in despair because their own strength does not suffice. Fear of what the future may bring grips the heart of multitudes. Indecision and confusion are prevalent. Delinquency among the young and old has increased 100-fold. Adults are acting like weaklings, leaving an example that would not have been thought possible a few years past. There is a changing of the concept of moral standard, and this change reveals a falling away from the standards of both God and man. The moral standard being placed before the youth of today, both by parents and others, will produce a moral condition that is comparable to that of Sodom and Gomorrah. There is an accounting day coming. The seed that is being planted by sin will surely grow, and that which is reaped will be the result of what we have sown. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap, Galatians 6 and 7. You cannot sow recklessness and reap safety. You cannot sow wickedness and reap righteousness. You cannot live in sin and stand before God in judgment and claim a title to heaven, because the seed you have sown and the crop you have harvested will condemn your soul. We sowed the seeds of debauchery by legalizing liquor. Today we are harvesting a crop of drunkards, boys and girls who are slaves to that which is evil. A recent report shows that the people of the United States spent $7 billion for liquor last year, 1946. Want to make a guess on what it would be today? That amount of money would build 104-year colleges in every state in the Union. As a nation, we have let loose of God and are on the downward road. And our children have been following in our steps. We hear much about the youth problem. We not only hear much, but also see much that shows there is a grave problem confronting us. For a long time, I have been convinced this problem confronting us is not a youth problem, but a parent problem. Our children reveal through their conduct what is built into them at home. They reflect their teaching and their environment. Fathers, what kind of instruction are you giving your children? 1946. My era. Suzanne was in the making. Sorry about that on your birthday, Suzanne. Do you ever instruct them in religion? Do they ever hear you pray? Do they ever hear the Bible from your lips? It is not an easy task to instruct youth today. There are too many other voices. Now listen. These is what the writer listed. Too many other voices. The radio, the press, the movies, and the magazines. All are bidding them to go this way, go that way. Present-day advertising is very subtle. Don't flatter yourself that you can trust your children that they will never fall for that trash. They need spiritual guidance, but you fail to give it. You permit them to remain out at night as long as they please instead of telling them what hour to be home. You let them learn by sad experience, too busy to be annoyed by the kids. If you devote but little time to your children, little time to tell them about Christ, little time to spend with them in prayer. Is it a strange thing if they grow up to question God's truth, reject the inspiration of the Bible, and ridicule the virgin birth of Christ? Written by Robert H. Brombeck. This next little story, oh, that clock moves fast, has to do with another writer of that time. It says, another hitching post. Everything that is good and useful upon the earth seems to have destructive enemies constantly at work to overthrow that period of usefulness. I am sure that all who are farmers realize the truthfulness of this statement. Observation proves it. The trees in the orchard are continually being attacked by borers which kill them if left alone. The cotton crop is under danger of the boll weevil plague, and the corn crop suffers from the chinch bug pest. Even the farm machinery is subject to rust, which undermines the strength of its parts, and the buildings are subject to decay. Thus it is also with the Christian life. There are enemies upon every hand awaiting an unguarded spot or unprotected moment in which to swoop down and destroy usefulness. The theater beckons with glittering lights. The demon of drink conceals his true nature and lies in wait for the unwary. So it is also with lust and vice, which produce immorality. Many times, however, we become our own worst tempters. The man who has a weakness for intoxicating beverages will choose as his company those who are drinkers, and standing around with them under the shadow of the tavern will soon find himself drawn, as if by an irresistible magnet, through the doors and to the bar. The man whose greatest appeal is for the theater will stop and look at the display boards and feast his eyes upon the advertisements in the paper until he is overcome by desire. Stories are told of a young man who had been an addict of the drink habit. He was converted, meaning converted to Christianity, during a series of meetings and renounced his former life. However, when he drove in his buggy to town, he continued to hitch his horse to the same post as in years past. This was a post in front of the saloon. One day an old gentleman said to him, "Son, take an old man's advice and find you another hitching post." A lot of us need to do that. Look where you are hitching. Steady and determine what it is that you are devoting the greater part of your time into doing. Hitch the buggy of your life to the Bible. That's a safe thing to be tied to. Maybe you need a new hitching post. By Carl Ketcherside. Now, you remember the night Dave read the 9 of the 10 commandments and asked which one he'd left out? And most of us couldn't detect which one it was he left out. I read in your hearing there are too many other voices, the radio, the press, the movies, and the magazines. Now, if I ask you what was left out, I wouldn't be able to hear your response anyway, so I'm going to tell you. The two big tempters that were not prevalent at that time in 1946, drugs and television. Liquor was there. We read you the writer's thoughts on that. Drugs and TV. So we're going to read some excerpts for you here just momentarily. And by the way, this is not to relate to the fact that we think we have this problem. This is an ounce of prevention worth a pound of cure, so to speak. We don't think we have that problem here on drugs and maybe more so on television than we do drugs. We'll get into that. And I want to read you some excerpt from a little thing here about Crack's Seductive Allure Divorces Addict from Reason. That's the title here. About cocaine and crack. And by the way, as you If you take the morning paper inside the front page on page 2 today, is a story relative to what we're going to read the excerpt from here concerning drugs. A mother shot her daughter, 48-year-old daughter, to death, I believe in New York City, but don't quote me on that. Just yesterday, I believe this happened. This daughter had stole from her. She had stolen thousands of dollars from her, and this mother had been to see her own mother, who was in her 90s, and daughter tried to break in while she was there. So this was the straw that broke the camel's back, evidently, and she followed her, the mother did, out on the street, shot her to death out on the sidewalk because of this daughter's drug habits. Addicts of crack, the supercharged cousin of cocaine, described their first encounter with the drug in terms usually reserved for true love. "I wanted to marry it. It's the ultimate hookup," said a 26-year-old Des Moines crack addict, one of many former heroin users who call crack much more addictive. This is just a paragraph from this whole story. Another thought, it's a romance based on chemistry. It's a relationship that has a whipsaw effect of blasting a person to a delirious high, then plummeting the user into a tailspin of depression and craving. A 37-year-old Des Moines man, desperate for more crack and on the verge of losing his small business, kicked in his parents' front door in Johnson one night last December to steal $100 from his mother's purse. "I was in and out in 30 seconds. I just can't believe I did that," said the man, now in treatment. By the way, this paper was 1988, if memory serves me right. Anyway, not very old. Chip Anderson, 18, of Johnson, stole two rifles from his parents to sell for drugs last year. He has since completed counseling and has replayed his parents. Quote from him, "No substance gives a quicker addiction than crack. We have reports of children becoming addicted over a weekend." Excuse me, this is from an administrator of drug purpose. That's his statement. Just a couple more. There is some evidence suggesting that cocaine and crack do, in fact, improve some body function when used for the first time. You literally feel godlike. The thought process is speeded up, and you may actually perform a little better. Think quicker, said Weiss. But the romance fades, and intense cravings begin. While addictions typically follow a leisurely familiar pattern, as alcoholics graduating slowly from beer to wine to liquor, crack leapfrogs the whole process. It doesn't even have to be a couple of days, said this doctor who worked with Florida crack addicts for years before moving to Iowa last month. The craving for more is beyond merely intense. In laboratory, monkeys exposed to cocaine will press a lever up to 20,000 times for a dose of cocaine, a sign of a stronger addiction than any other known drug can induce, even heroin. The 38-year-old Des Moines addict can identify with a monkey. "You'd sell your front teeth," he said. "You con people, you rob people. You think of selling your body," and I don't need to explain that. With cocaine, particularly free base cocaine, animals will do it until death, said Byron of our primary purpose. "When you're high, all you can think about is getting more crack. I get real nasty about it," said a police informant named Cindy, cited in a Des Moines police study of crack use. "When you run out of money and dope and start coming down from it, you will kill for it. I thought about killing for it many times." Norley and I stayed in a motel on Highway 40 in Kansas City, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, maybe more than that. Anyway, we wanted to be alone that evening. It had cable television on it. It's the only time I've ever witnessed cable outside of watching ball games on it, I guess. I turned that thing on, and Buddy Hackett came on, and he had a live audience there. Of course, this was taped, no doubt, but live audience before him, and I can't repeat the words that Buddy Hackett used. I've heard them many times before, being in the service and all. But I can't repeat those words. I was visiting recently with a friend of mine who sells auto parts, and his wife works in the school system. And we were talking about rebellious children. Norley had come across a library episode relating to how the kids go over there to smoke and all, and the principal has to come and get them and so on, all relative to discipline in the school. And he told me, he said, well, kids don't want to do it. What you ask them to do, they just use the four-letter word and tell you to do that. And again, I can't repeat what that four-letter word is. But we have problems. And you and I can stand out in society and we can let our light shine by avoiding these things. Brother Brumback and Ketcherside were well aware of that 46 years ago. And they didn't have drugs and they didn't have TB. When we think about television, you think of the soap operas and so on, and you don't have to watch them over a minute or so, and you'll see the scenes that it's either related to someone trying to persuade another man's wife or secretary or something of that nature to break up a relationship, or a bedroom scene, what have you. Television. I asked Brother Roberts was staying at our house at the time when television first came into being, what his thought was on it. He says, I think it's the greatest evil that ever hit society. And this was a prophecy. He could foresee what it would do, how we would be addicted to it. And when we think of bringing our children up, and I have many items here on child rearing, but time is not going to allow me to do that at all. But when we think about child rearing and so on, how many of you who are 75 now or older would like to start over again in today's society and temptations and try to raise four or five children like most of us have at that age level? You wouldn't like that, would you? You wouldn't have that desire. So we can empathize with you. We can sympathize with you what the conditions are out there in trying to raise children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I want to get to one or two points, not my own, but things that came out from a two-week study, if I can get my eye on them here. Wilford Landis concerning family life. Don't expect children to be faithful if you, as parents, aren't faithful. He was relating, we set a stronger, teach a stronger example by our actions than we do by our mouth. Okay, this one is from Tom Woody on the same subject. Tom Woody. It's okay for adults to watch X-rated movies, but not children. He says, no way. And again, this goes to our example. Do you try to watch X-rated movies yourself? And my mind went to the first chapter of Romans when I heard that, the last verse of that. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You have pleasure in watching X-rated movies? You got a problem. You got an equal problem to the drug addicts, those excerpts we use. I had one more here I wanted to use so I can get my... Okay, I'll use one. Greg mentioned this in our meeting down Sunday afternoon that day. I think the statement he made, I may not have this word for word. He says, I'm getting just a little tired and perturbed about people relating that how bad our teenagers are. He says, I think we've got a good group of teenagers. I do too. They still need instruction. They still need our example. But we do commend our teenagers. For those who have small children, you've got a heavy task ahead of you. I do have this thought down here. If we don't get the child conquered while he's in the high chair, we've got a big problem. This would be my admonition to those who are thinking of child rearing, who have children to rear. If you haven't got him conquered by the time he's graduates from high chair, you got a big problem. I'm not saying it can't be remedied, but it's too bad about our court system taking away all of the acts of discipline which those of us who grew up and were successful with. Our court system have decreed that we are smarter than Solomon, and all the things that Solomon offered in child rearing, on the acts of love, the acts of discipline, even to the point so you can beat your child, he will not die. And don't spare for his crying, he'll live through it. Solomon, our court system seem to think that they're smarter than Solomon. I know that my time is gone. Well, I had some other thoughts. I'll bring them to you again sometime. You'll have to listen to me again. I could give them to Nels for next Sunday, but Nels kind of put the bird dog on me here. Tertiary year ago, says, why is it that every time we have a guest speaker, it's always your turn, and you get out of it, in essence, what he's saying. Well, you know, if we hadn't traded, I'd have got out of it again, Nels, wouldn't I? I think there's something going on here, really. I'm teasing, of course. In closing our worship service today, my mind went to the thought of the song, I can't think of the title of it. Give me Jesus night and day, blessed Jesus, I will labor. There's two words used there. Both toil and care. You know, we can't labor for Jesus if we're not a child of his. If you're here this morning and haven't accepted the plan of salvation, so far you have rejected the greatest thing that you could have within your life. You say, even greater than my marriage? Yes, your marriage won't save your soul. Greater than childbearing? Yes, childbearing. Paul says it saves the sisters of the church. But remember, the sisters are in the church to start with. And that's one reason Paul could make that statement. So, in essence, we're put here in this life to face all these challenges that we read in your hearing this morning. People have been aware of and concerned about and been preaching and teaching for a multitude of years. And they seem to grow stronger. But with God's help, we can live by his will. But we have to be a child of God to do it. Your desire to become a Christian, let's make it known by coming forward to extend an invitation.